A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, a vital resource for South Dakota's future.
Okay, we are live on the internet. I will call this ad hoc meeting, the Public Utilities Commission, to order. Double-checking who we've got on the telephones. Commissioner Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Feagin.
Yes.
And do we have Kara Semler?
I am here.
Very good. Do we have anybody else on the phones? I will ask again, do we have anybody else on the phones? Okay, hearing none, we do have a quorum of the commission. We only have one item on the commission agenda today. That is GW 12-001 in the matter of Anderson Seed Company, Inc.'s grain buyer's license. And a petition has been filed by PUC Grain Warehouse staff. Staff Director Jim Melhoff is present with us. And at this point, I will turn it over to Mr. Melhoff for presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kara Semler is also on the line, and I don't know if she wants to speak. She was the author of the petition that was initially filed. She wants to speak first, or would you prefer if I just go?
Whichever one of you, doesn't matter to me.
Jim?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that I did receive an email from Gary Lastico, the counsel for Anderson Seed. He indicated that he and his client do not object to staff's petition and as such will not be participating today. That's why he's obviously not on the phone. Other than that, staff's position, as was outlined in the petition, remains the same. And Jim Melhoff can answer any factual questions the commissioners may have.
Thank you, Kara. Jim, do you have anything that you want to present, or would you like us to go into questions?
Well, the kind of the facts and the events were laid out pretty well in the petition that was I did assist in that, providing a lot of the information that was filed on that. And beyond that, I could certainly answer more questions, but I wouldn't necessarily have anything more to add at this time.
Okay, thank you. I do have a series of questions, but I'm gonna open it up and see if Commissioner Hansen or Commissioner Feagin would like to delve into questions first.
I'm going to allow the chairman.
Commissioner Hansen, any questions at this point?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, Jim, and I've got a series for you, and I also had a series for Mr. Anderson from the company, but since he's not going to appear apparently, I may throw some of those your direction, too, and see if you can handle any of those. And simply, I want, as a commission, to get a better understanding of what has transpired here. You did have a number of facts in the submission, but I think there's some other things that I'd like to know so we have an understanding of what's happening here. First of all, the license that was issued, Class A or Class B?
It was a Class A license.
Okay. And at the time of the license application, what were the projected annual purchase amounts?
Excuse me one second, and I will get that out.
Certainly.
The projected purchases were $1,561,460 was what they presented as their projected annual.
So their projected annual purchases were $1.5 million.
Correct.
After 7 months of operation, they are now owing in excess of $2.6 million. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Do we know what the actual level of their purchases has been since they began operation?
We don't know that at this time, no.
Okay. SCCL 49-45-18 provides for a pretty thorough audit of what's going on with that type of a business. Have you conducted that audit?
We have not done a thorough audit. We've done one of our general inspections. We had
but not the specific audit mentioned in 18?
No.
Can you give me some idea, if we were to direct you to conduct that audit, how long that might take?
I would imagine that it would take less than a week to do that. It would depend on the cooperation from the licensee.
Okay. Thank you. I believe there was some mention, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that part of the issue here may be that there were contracts for the purchase of grain whereby the producers failed to deliver on those contracts. Is that a fact that has been established?
That is what has been represented to me by the licensee, that how they got into the position that they're in.
And that was verbally referenced to you?
That was verbally referenced, yes.
Do you know what the language of those contracts were and whether or not the language was such that they were legally enforceable contracts?
I cannot speak to the language on the delivery contracts.
Do we know how many contracts, how many producers were involved in those contracts, the volume involved at all?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just kind of speak in generally,
yes,
about the contracts. I don't know that that was actually the case. That was just what was told to me. In inquiries I've made through people involved in the industry, they raise questions as to whether that was actually the case at all.
Very good, and I appreciate your sharing that general information. And I do have some more questions regarding those contracts, but I think given that general response, I'm going to let those go for now, and that will ultimately play out. Let's talk about balance sheets. Obviously, they filed a balance sheet with their grain buyer's application, correct?
That is correct.
And you reviewed that, and what did that tell you?
That balance sheet showed at the time when they applied for their license, this would have been their year-end audited financial statements.
For 2010 year-end?
Yes. That showed them well within the licensing requirements.
And what was the net worth at that point?
Well, I can tell you, just right off the top, that their net working capital at that time was close to $243,000. Their net worth at that time was $2.572 million in net worth.
And that met all of the requirements of South Dakota law and rule in order to issue a grain buyer's license, correct?
That is correct.
Is my understanding that you now have a current balance sheet? Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's current as of when? Year-end 11 or as of when you received it?
I have a year-end balance sheet, which is an audited statement, for year-end 11, which is September 30. And that balance sheet shows total stockholder equity at negative $11,378,000.
And you said that isn't audited, so you believe that that's accurate as of that time?
I believe the auditors signed off that it is, they believe it to be an accurate depiction of their financial condition.
And let me go back to my earlier question regarding the balance sheet they submitted at the time they applied for the grain buyer's license. That would have also been as of their fiscal year end 2010, so September 30th, 2010?
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We've also been provided unaudited balance sheets for November and December of 11.
Very good. And can you share with, let's just talk, take the December one, the most recent one, what that would show for an equity position?
Very similar to what they had in the other one. The the total capital at that time was just short of minus $11.5 million.
And help me understand the structure of the business, Anderson Seed Company, Inc. They've got, obviously, this Redfield operation. They've got operations in other states also. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And this balance sheet covers the corporate assets in all states or simply South Dakota?
It covers the all the assets of Anderson Seed Incorporated, which includes Mentor, Minnesota, and they have a processing facility there, two receiving facilities in North Dakota, and then the processing and receiving plant in Redfield.
Okay. At this point, do you have any indication? I'm going to pass on that question because I think you've already answered that. Do we have a current asset list?
We have the current asset, which is their balance sheet.
How detailed is that? I mean, does that list individual assets, individual vehicles, individual pieces of real estate?
It does not.
So we do not have a current asset list?
No.
In your professional opinion, what can we as a commission do at this point to best protect the interests of the producers that haven't been paid?
Well, to start with, what we're here today is to suspend their license just to offer some protection to those producers who have not delivered grain. And at that point, I mean, we have some options going forward, and what they are, you know, I'm not sure this is the arena to really discuss it at this point.
Okay, and I will accept that. I understand that. But from your opinion, the immediate need is to suspend the license, and then we can look at other avenues once that is accomplished, if that's our decision today, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'm going to ask you just a few other questions that I would have asked for Mr. Anderson if he would have been kind enough to appear today and visit with us. And so you may or may not know the answers to these, and I understand that. Do we have any idea what Mr. Anderson or Stephanie Anderson, was she the manager of this facility? Is that the right name?
That is correct.
Do we have any idea what their history or experience is in the grain business?
The history that I've seen was that they established their other company, which was a similar to Anderson Seed, which generally dealt in edible beans, chickpeas, those sort of things, that was established in 1993 and was a very successful company up until it was recently sold to the same organization that purchased the assets of Anderson Seed that had been sold. That was Hilaire Seed Incorporated, I believe.
Okay, and so they're apparently not new to the seed or grain business.
They are not. And Anderson Seed, which was the sunflower part of the company, was established in 1999 in Mentor, from the information that I've seen.
So they've been around for a while, too.
They've been around a while, yes.
And what was do you know what the business model of the South Dakota location was? Was it, you mentioned processing. Was it solely sunflowers, or do you know exactly what was going on?
The solely sunflower location where they processed it into seed for replanting and bird seed, and they also cleaned it and sold bulk seed resale to specialty purchasers.
Okay. Do we have any indication at this point that there was any seed purchase activity prior to when they got their license?
I'm not aware of any
okay
purchases prior to them being licensed.
You mentioned a sale of some assets of Anderson Seed, Inc., and I know there's been some media reports of some kind of a sale. Can you tell me, I think there's probably a lot we don't know about that, but can you tell me what we might know about that?
Well, what I didn't know, Mr. Chairman, is what has been in press releases from the purchasing entity, which is Legumex, and they purchased the Hilaire Seed Company in its entirety, which that was the business that they were primarily in, and then they also purchased. So that company was taken in a single bite. That's whole.
But that company's not at issue here.
That is correct. So they purchased that, and then they also purchased the plant in Mentor, Minnesota, and those other two plants.
But as far as we know, there's been no sale of any South Dakota assets.
Been no sale of any South Dakota assets. And I know that on Tuesday, Stephanie Anderson was at the plant in Redfield, and on Wednesday, nobody was at the plant. It was locked up.
Okay.
And Thursday, the sale was announced. And during that period, I was trying to get in touch with Mr. Anderson and or Stephanie pretty much every day, several times a day, and no calls were returned. I was able to contact the office in Mentor, left several messages with their receptionist.
And so at this point, they are non-communicative with you, is that correct?
That is correct.
I think that's all the questions I have at the moment. Commissioner Fegan or Hansen, questions?
No, my questions were for Anderson Seed.
Okay, Commissioner Hansen, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was mainly interested in hearing what Jim might have to say. Without being questioned, I assumed he had something he wanted to present to us and just asked Jim to let us know if there was anything that he had planned to say that wasn't covered by your question.
I could give a little more detail about how this all unfolded. Started in about mid-January, we started receiving a few calls about slow pays. Not too many, I believe it was about three over the course of about a week. And each time we would get one of those, I called the company and either spoke to Ron or Stephanie. And each time, the first time they said the check was being mailed. And at that time, I was not really concerned. After the third one, I started asking pointed questions if they were having cash flow problems at that time.
Jim, if I could interrupt you, just so we keep the chronology straight, this was mid-January when you started getting the complaint calls. When was the product for these proceeds actually delivered or sold?
It varied. A lot of it was delivered in October or November.
Okay.
Some of it was put on deferred payment contracts, which is a voluntary credit sale, which were due on or about, say, shortly after the first of the year. So then about the 14th, when the checks were not coming, that's when we were getting some of the calls.
Okay.
The deferred payment contracts were due to be paid on. So.
Continue.
Generally, my calls would be, where the response would be that the check would be issued. I'd follow up with the producer, and they confirmed that they had gotten paid. After the third call, I asked them what's going on. And I would say that that's not necessarily a common thing, that we get a lot of calls for slow pay, but it's not uncommon either. And sometimes that's just the issue on some of those deferred payment contracts. There's just within the workings of some of the companies that the checks just don't come out on the exact day. And oftentimes those contracts are rolled over and rolled forward. And so with that. But after the third one, I asked them if they were having cash flow issues, if they were having solvency issues, or if this was a bookkeeping problem between their Mentor plant, because I know that the Redfield plant was new and all the checks were being issued. So all the beans were delivered to Redfield and the checks were being issued from Mentor, Minnesota. So I suspected that there could be some bookkeeping irregularities between the two operations as it was new, and that's what was represented to me, that that was the problem, and that was why Stephanie was now handling all those payables. And actually, after that conversation, the phones were quiet for several weeks after that.
Again, if I could just step back to the chronology, if your understanding was that a number of these were voluntary credit sales with a payment date of after January 1st, and so they probably had this product for several months, but nobody was really concerned because nobody was expecting a check until shortly after the first of the year. Does that make sense? Is that, your understanding?
That is accurate, yes.
Thank you.
So, and then it was early in February, probably the first or second week in February, then we started getting other calls, which I followed up and asked, and then they would say, well, we're sending the check. Then I would follow up with the producer who had called, and this time the check wasn't there. After this happened, then I asked them again for their most recent financial statement, which they did finally provide to me, where I noticed that their working capital and equity was serious swing from what the previous year was. And then at that time, the letter was sent to them and held a meeting between myself and Kara Semler and Ron and Stephanie Anderson, which is depicted in Exhibit A. That letter is kind of a follow-up to those conversations, at which time we requested that they keep in very close contact with us, provide the information that we asked for on there, and that's about the time when the communications dried up.
Is that it?
Anything further, Jim?
Well, I think the rest is pretty much up, but just to wrap it up, they in that conversation, which is depicted in the letter that you have, they said that they were working on the refinancing and bringing in another partner. They had agreed, and we had actually confirmed that they were not taking any grain in Redfield, and we monitored that situation, and but the payments were still not forthcoming, and the communications were not forthcoming, and they didn't comply with all of the requests that were depicted in the letter.
Will there be additional investigation by your office?
There will be, Commissioner. It's a little unclear exactly, because this is a grain buyer, it's a little different than a grain warehouse. So any grain that has been delivered to that facility, it's assumed sold. The title is passed to any grain, so there's not any ability to go in and recapture any of the grain.
By the producer.
By the producer or by us either, I would imagine. And we'll have to look into this as we go forward. And they are represented by counsel, and Ms. Semler has been in contact with them. And I would imagine that a lot of the information that we get will have to be through their law office.
Mr. Smith, let me just make sure. Commissioner Hansen, do you have further questions?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Do we know if there are financial institution filed security interests in the assets in Redfield and in particular in the grain inventory?
We know what's depicted in their audited financial statements, which indicate that their seasonal loan is secured by the assets and inventory. And also I know that as of 9:30, 2011, they had not secured conventional financing on that facility. It was still on a bridge loan, and they were not in compliance with all the covenants on their financing.
And I think you've covered this, but we don't have any monthly cash flow or P&L statements for the last year to know on a month-by-month basis how this unraveled. Is that correct?
At this time, we don't.
Okay. Further questions from commissioners?
Jim, can you give me the dates again? First of all, you said in January we received calls, but all those people got paid. And then it was the first week or second week that we got calls again. And those, can you give me a little bit more detail when those calls were made and those are the people that didn't get paid?
Correct. The first calls came in right around mid-January. And those were all responded with. Those folks got their checks. Then it was probably after the first week in February, we started receiving additional calls. And those, although I am aware of one person who did get a check for $600 on a $200,000 receivable.
So after the February 7th meeting you held?
I'm not sure that meeting was right on February 7th. But we did hold the meeting via telephone, and nobody had been paid since that time.
Okay. So according to the document, it says that you had a meeting on February 7th by telephone with Ron and Stephanie.
Okay. I'm trying to... Go ahead.
So was it after February 7th that we realized people weren't getting paid or before that?
No, it was before that. That was what prompted the meeting.
Okay.
When the regular calls weren't being answered with checks.
Okay. Because I heard first week and second week, and that's why I was getting confused, and I just wanted to clarify that.
Other questions? Kara, anything you'd like to add? Jim, anything?
I have nothing further.
Okay. Jim, anything further to add?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, no further testimony, I will make a motion in Grain Warehouse 12-001 that the Public Utilities Commission suspend the grain buyer's license of Anderson Seed Company, Inc., and that we order the full audit as provided in 49-45-18 to include and ask the Grain Warehouse Division to exercise whatever authority they have to determine exactly what has happened in this matter and exactly what their current situation is. Discussion of that motion.
I have a question of John.
Yes, Commissioner Fagan.
So help me understand the process here today. Do we go into any executive session to talk as commissioners on any more processes or procedures?
I don't think so. I mean, that's up to commissioners, I guess, but no, I don't think so, given where we're at right now. I think Commissioner Nelson's motion, I think, indicates, in which we've just talked about, the next step, I think, is to get in with the audit and let's figure out where things stand.
Okay. Is there any time frame on that, Commissioner Nelson?
Well... You want to go?
Well, Jim's indicated he thought it might take a week to accomplish, and it would. I hope the understanding was that it commence ASAP.
I will say there is a time stated in Section 16, which you've probably read, Commissioner Fagan, and that is upon suspension, either the applicant requests a hearing or license is revoked within after 15 days. Am I stating that correctly, Mr. Melov?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Further discussion. Let me just say before we take the vote, in the 13 short months that I've been on the commission, this is probably this is the most concerning issue that I have seen. Obviously, I have a great fondness for ag producers in our state, and when I see them being taken advantage of, as is apparently the case here, I'm greatly concerned. And we'll certainly support this motion and support our Grain Warehouse Division in doing whatever they need to do to get to the bottom of this and find the assets necessary to compensate our producers. With that, Commissioner Hansen.
Hansen votes aye.
Just hold on a moment. Yes. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. With that, is there any further business to be transacted? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
So will the commissioners hold any meetings next week to discuss this at all? Or do we need to do any public or I guess, when are we going to be informed of what's going on?
Well, as soon as the Grain Warehouse Division has delved into their audit, we will certainly get a report from them at whatever point they have some information to give to us.
Okay.
And that information, may come on a day-by-day basis as they delve into it. If they see something that we need to be immediately aware of, I'm confident that they will bring that to our attention. And if we need to meet as a commission, I'm certainly prepared to call a meeting at a moment's notice if there are things that we need to deal with urgently.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Council Smith just brought to my attention one other issue. 49-45-18, in addition to the audit provision, also has a provision that says that the PUC shall notify the surety named in the grain buyer bond held by such grain buyer. And while that was not part of my initial motion, but I would certainly like it to be, and I think maybe to have this as a clear record, I am going to make an additional motion in Grain Warehouse 12-001 that under 49-45-18 that the PUC immediately notify the surety named in the grain buyer bond. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, Commissioner Hansen.
Hansen votes.
You cut out, Mr. Hansen.
Hansen votes aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. That motion carries. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor say aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Aye.
And Commissioner Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.